Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dr. Fred Lowry, illuminating God's Word for today's world.
The choice, the Word of God, or the world. The choice, Christ, or culture for us.
We can choose Christ.
Peter Drucker, who probably is the number one management consultant, was asked, what's the most basic question that a business owner needs to know? What's the basic thing for him? And Peter Drucker put it into two questions. He said, there are two questions every business owner ought to ask. Number one, what is my business? And number two, how's business? Those are the two questions. And that's true of a believer. Those two questions ought to apply to every one of our lives. What is my purpose? And how am I living out my purpose? That's what 40 days is all about. What is my purpose? And how am I doing at living out that purpose? And so today we're at our fourth purpose. Remember, purpose number one, to love God. That's worship. Purpose number two, to love one another, to connect with one another. Purpose number three, to become like Christ. That's to grow. That's discipleship. And then purpose number four is to serve God by serving one another. And that's how we serve God, by serving one another. So we are planned for God's pleasure. We're formed for God's family. We're created to become like Christ. And we are shaped for serving God. Look at Ephesians 2:10 in your outline. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. See, God made you a contributor, not just a consumer. He made you a giver, not just a taker. God made you to make a difference. So what matters is not how long you live, but how you live. Some people only live a few years, but they did more living than some who live 90 or 100 years. It's not how long, but it's how you live. You see, none of us are here just for a free ride. We're to give back. God made us to give back. We were created in Christ Jesus for what? To watch television? To play golf? No, God has a purpose. The Bible says we were created to serve. We were saved to serve. We were gifted to serve. We were shaped to serve. God made us to serve. I like what the old country preacher said. God didn't save us to sit, but to get up and get. And that's true. Back, you know, when there was a time in our past when Baptists had testimony services and actually confessed sins openly. That's a long, long, long time ago. Now we strut. We can almost strut walking down the aisle, and we act as if we have no sin. But they would have these testimony services, especially during revival meetings, and somebody just stand up and say, you know, I've had a problem with drinking alcohol, and I want the praying people to pray for me. And somebody else stand up and say, you know, I've just been cursing, and I want God to clean up my mouth, and I want y'all to pray for me. And so several people gave testimony. One lady stood up right in the back, and she said, I ain't been doing nothing, but I'm going to quit it. Now, that should be the testimony of most of us, if not all of us, in these 40 days of purpose. We're going to do what God wants us to do and to try to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. So here's what I want to do. I want to put this as strongly and as clearly as the Bible puts it. We are commanded to serve God back. Now, this is going to be a hard message for pew sitters. Hello? Because some of you think God made you to sit. And when you sit on a pew, that you have fulfilled your obligation to God. That is so far from what this book talks about. We are commanded to give back to God. We're put on this earth to serve God. And God would never, here's the good news, God would never command us to serve, but that He also equips us to serve. And that's so important. Here's what Job 10:8 says. Your hand shaped me and made me. Now in class 301, if you've been through that, you learn that there are five things that shape us. Spiritual gifts, heart, our passion, our abilities, our talents, our personality, and our experiences. And that forms an acrostic for shape. And so God has shaped every one of us. We each have a unique shape, a unique background, unique experiences, our personalities, everything about us. God made one of us. And these five things make us and shape us by divine purpose. And there is some place, here's the beauty of it. God gave you a specific shape. God brought you to where you are now. God wants to use everything that's happened in your life. And what He wants you to know is there is a place where you in the family of God can use your shape, and your shape will shine, and you will be a blessing, and you will help get God's work done. There is a place for every member of the family to serve God. Absolutely no exceptions. You see, your shape, that's what you are. That's God's gift to you. But what you do with what you are, that's your gift to God. Now, God gave you, God blessed you with a certain shape, a certain personality, a certain background and experiences, certain talents and abilities. God gave that to you. That's His gift to you. But then you give back to God. What you do with what He's given you is your gift back to Him. Now, we're not going to talk about these five things that shape us today because you're going to read about that in your devotional book this coming week. But I want you to, as you read through that, I want you to think about your shape. And here's what I want you to understand this morning, and this is important, is that God made you unique. And I don't think there's any doubt about that, and God loves variety. If you don't believe that, just look down the road. God made you unique. But now here's the catch. Your uniqueness is for the benefit of others. God knows nothing about selfishness. God has you on this earth not for your own benefit, but for the benefit of others. In other words, you are blessed to be a blessing. You are shaped to serve. You're made to minister. It's for the benefit of others. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to make lots and lots of money. Oh, that's not your translation? To serve others. I hope all of you are reading the Purpose-Driven Life book. The very first sentence, remember what it said? It's not about you. Wow. That's the first sentence. It's not about you. See, that's what keeps us out of God's will, is because we think it's about us. But God has made you, God has gifted you. Why? So that you can serve others. He has given you the background, the talents, the abilities, so that He can use your shape to get what He wants done in this world. And that's how He's to do the work of the church. And you may never have thought of this, But whatever you are good at, you ought to do through God's church. I tell you, I was really convicted in reading some stuff with Rick Warren's church in California. Because let me tell you what our mentality is since you brought it up. Let's pay to get it done because we're too busy. Pay somebody to do it because, you know, I don't do my yards. I don't do, you know, I'm too busy. And I'm certainly not going to do church work. And here I'm reading about Rick's church out in California. In California, I mean, you know about California. And they have thousands of people who are doing what they're good at for their church in addition to their normal jobs. And it really, you know, got my attention because I know some of the things in our church that cost us so much money. One thing is computer services. I mean, we spend thousands because computers just kind of need a little bit of attention every day. But God has put somebody in this church whose gift is computers. And that's what he's good at or she's good at. And God says, I want you to do that for my church. You say, well, I don't have time to do that. That is energizing. That is fulfilling. You see, that I believe every need we have, God already has somebody to meet that need. But we have to look at it differently. Because if we think it's all about us and we just come here to sit and to soak, then we've missed what God is about. So here's our fourth purpose. Write it down. My fourth purpose in life is to serve God by serving others. My purpose in life, your purpose in life, is to serve God by serving others. We're not here to take up space. We're not here to just consume. We're not here for a free ride. We're left on this earth for a purpose, and that is to serve God. Now, let me tell you what somebody says. Well, you know, I don't have any problem serving God. It's just I don't want to serve people. You know, I love God. It's people I can't stand. Well, no. You can't serve God without serving people. You serve God by serving people. The Bible calls this word for serving others ministry. It's walking in other people's lives for their good and for God's glory. Ministry. And every believer is to have a ministry. Ministry is like worship. It's real. It's a misunderstood word. Because when we think of a minister, we think of a guy with a funny collar or a robe or a guy who looks pale or sickly. In fact, two guys were talking, and one of them said to the other guy, said, are you a preacher? He said, no. He said, well, you look like a preacher. He said, well, I've just been real sick. But, we have this caricature of what a minister is. But the truth is, ministry is simply using your God-given gifts and talents and abilities to serve other people. So every believer is a minister. Not every believer is a pastor, but every believer is a minister. No exceptions. God has called every one of us to ministry. I'm a minister in the pulpit. You are a minister in the pew. But we're ministers. We're called to serve. It's a calling from God. It's no option. So what I want to say to you this morning is that God wants to talk with you about your individual ministry. Because you are a minister. Turn to the person beside you right now and just say, you're a minister. You probably ruined a day for a lot of people when you did that, but because that's exactly what the Bible says. You see, last week we talked about we're to grow. And how do we grow? We grow by serving the needs of other people. And that's how God designed it. Every one of us, we each have a ministry to perform. And next week we'll realize we have a message to proclaim. And there are no exceptions. And not only that, we have a great model. Jesus said, not only do I want you to be a minister, I will model, I will mentor, I will show you. Watch me. Watch what I'm about. I'm about walking in other people's lives. I'm about serving others. When Jesus was on this earth, he served. If one of our purposes is to become like Christ, then we have to serve because that's what Jesus did. He served. Matthew 20, 28, your attitude must be like my own, for I did not come to be served, but to serve. Now, if there's anybody that's ever lived that should be able to say, I'm not going to mess with that. Let the servants do it. It was Jesus, King, Lord of Lords. But he said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. And if you're going to be my followers, if you're going to be my disciples, if you're going to be like me, if that's the purpose that I designed you for, then you're going to have to be involved in serving other people. Of course, the incredible example is when Jesus took a towel and stooped down and began to wash the feet of his disciples. So here's the bottom line. Your shape, your abilities, your gifts, your background, your experiences determines your ministry. Now, your attitude will determine your maturity, but your shape determines your ministry. God has a ministry for you, and he has already shaped you for that ministry. From the moment you were born, even before you were born, he knew how you would be shaped. And he shaped you for ministry, to serve. So we're going to talk about learning to serve like Jesus Christ. That's what we're to be about, learning to serve like Jesus Christ. So remember, we talk a lot about relationships. Life is relationships. And if we're going to be involved in ministry, without relationships, there is no ministry. So we have to be involved in building relationships. And let me add this. This is so important. Before you feel loaded down this morning, there is no greater thrill than using your shape to serve other people in the name of Christ. No greater thrill, no greater blessing, no greater fulfillment. You know, so many people are searching for self-esteem and self-worth. That's why they try all the different things. But the interesting thing is, self-esteem comes from serving. And the world's trying to get it selfishly the opposite way. It's all about me. Elvis Presley had a new album the day it came out, it went straight up and became number one. I mean, this guy, 25 years ago, died. Except for the people in Arkansas and Alabama and some parts of Louisiana. They think he's still alive. But he died 25 years ago. 25 years ago, and he's more popular today than he was 25 years ago. And Graceland is a multi-million dollar operation. But he died needlessly at the age of 42. But listen to what Priscilla, his wife, said about him. Elvis never came to terms with who he was meant to be, are what his purpose in life was. He thought that he was here on earth for a reason. Maybe to preach. And if you've read much about Elvis, you picked that up somewhere along the way, that he thought maybe he was supposed to preach. Maybe to serve. maybe to care for people. That agonizing desire was always with him, and he knew that he wasn't fulfilling it. And that's why he wanted to go on stage, because on stage he didn't think about it. And that's why he wanted the drugs, because on drugs he didn't think about it. That's unfortunate that he didn't have a clue of where to look. What does it take to be used of God? What does it take to serve like Jesus Christ? I want to just mention three simple things. The first is, serving like Jesus means being available. Jesus is walking down the road to Jericho, and two blind men called out to him. In Matthew 20, two blind men shouted, "Lord, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. In other words, Jesus said, "How may I serve you?" By the way, starting tomorrow, I'm going to have them answer the phone at First Bossier. How may I serve you? Good morning. How may I serve you? Good afternoon. How may I serve you? Because that should be our attitude as a church. That should be our attitude as a staff. How may we serve you? How may you serve one another? So if you want to be used by God, if you want to serve like Jesus, then you must be available. That means you must be willing to be interrupted. Do you understand that so many interruptions in life were meant to be divine interruptions? That God wanted to use you in ministry? When you look at the ministry of Jesus, you will find that most of his ministry was about interruptions. Most of his miracles were about interruptions. He was willing to be stopped. He was willing to be interrupted. And if we're going to serve like Jesus, we have to be willing to be interrupted. We have to be available. We have to be willing. Proverbs 3:28, never tell your neighbors to wait until tomorrow if you can help them now. Never tell your neighbors, wait until tomorrow, if you can help them now. You see, people who are servants don't procrastinate or offer excuses. They're sensitive and they're spontaneous. Here's a need. God has put in my path. I'm going to meet that need. I read John Wesley's motto. John Wesley, of course, has impacted our world. He said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, by all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, for as long as you can. I think he got it. A servant. So since you have been shaped by God, you must be available and willing to step out of your comfort zone. Step out of your schedule. Step out of your Palm Pilot. In order to meet a need that's right before you. Now, why do we miss those things that are right before us? Those opportunities to serve. Those opportunities to minister. Well, one thing is self-centeredness. You see, we're so involved in ourselves. And let me tell you a little experiment I've done in my own life many, many times. If I get up in the morning and I'm only thinking about my schedule and what I've got to get done, I will go through that day and miss the most important things. I'll miss the people that I was to serve. But if I get up in the morning and get with God first and say to God, God, you put people in my path that you want me to serve today, then God gives me opportunities throughout that day to serve him. And so, as long as we're selfish, we're not going to be the servants. Philippians 2:4, forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. You see, this whole thing about it's all about me is not a Christian concept. That's foreign to Christianity. So what are the barriers that keep us from being available? Self-centeredness. The second one is perfectionism. You know, warning, do everything perfectly. Warning that just, you know, I'll do it, but it has to be the right time. And if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it first class, or I'm not going to do it at all. I've heard that so many times. You know, when I can do, you know, I'm busy right now. I got all these things going, but when I can put time to it and when I can do it the way it ought to be done, then I will do it. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Ecclesiastes 11:4, here's what it says. If you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. Doesn't this book amaze you? If you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. In Alabama, you know, we say most of the time, ain't no best way and ain't no best time. Just do it. And that's basically what the Bible says. Tell you what I've learned over 40 years of ministry. It doesn't have to be perfect for God to bless it. See, some of you sit there because you think there's somebody else more talented, so you're waiting on the talented people to step up and do it. And you miss those opportunities to serve. The good enough principle. You know, when you read the Bible and when you read your devotional this week, you're going to see some misfits. When you look at the Bible, the people God used were mostly misfits. I mean, they had all kind of problems, all kind of struggles, all kind of flaws, and yet God used them mightily. Guess what? We're a bunch of misfits, and we have all kind of flaws and imperfections, but guess what? God wants to also use us mightily, and that's good news. It's good news. We learned that in Nehemiah. God takes ordinary people, and he does extraordinary things. Example, you could say, you know, I can't open up my home to a Bible study group. I mean, I'm not a perfect housekeeper. The house is not going to be perfect. I don't have a perfect knowledge about the Bible. I'm not a real people person. But I can open up my house. And I'm telling you, when you're willing to do that, you're the one that gets the blessings. Don't let somebody else get all the blessings. So what keeps us from being available? Self-centeredness, perfectionism, and the third is materialism. Luke 16:13. No servant can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. You've got to either serve God or money. You can't serve both. He didn't say you should not serve God and money. He said you cannot serve God and money. He said it's impossible. So you have to decide, do you want to be loaded or blessed? And we'd be shocked to know how many want to be loaded. Because you think that will give you what you want. It didn't do it for Elvis, and it won't do it for you. You see, if we're materialistic, we're too busy thinking about doing our job, making enough money, getting this thing or that thing, that we don't have time for people. And it keeps us from doing what God wants us to do. Is God against money? No, God doesn't mind you having wealth. He just doesn't want wealth to have you. He doesn't want wealth to be the number one goal in your life. Let me make another statement that will be somewhat controversial, but I believe it. I believe that this book teaches it. If you have a job that prevents you from serving God, you need to make an adjustment. Life's too short. Life's too short. Let me now deal with some excuses why we don't present ourselves to serve other people and become available. And the first one is, I'm too busy. I know you've never heard that if you've asked for volunteers or in a Sunday school class or in any area of our church ministry. I'm just too busy. And that's the culture today. I mean, we get impatient with microwave ovens. We're impatient with fast food. You know, it wasn't fast enough inside, so now we got the drive-through lanes, and now we get impatient with the drive-through lanes. One reason is the person, the microphone speaks another language. So I get impatient. But we're just too busy. And what we do is we hang a do not disturb sign on our heart. And yet that's why we're on this earth. We're on this earth to serve God by serving people. And yet hanging on our heart, the door of our heart, is a sign that says, do not disturb. But let me tell you something. Many of you are not serving God like you're gifted to serve God. And your excuse is you're too busy. But the problem is not busyness. The problem is that your priorities are out of whack. Because everybody has the same amount of time, 24 hours. And God has not only given you the time, He has gifted you to do what He has for you to do on this earth. But we say, here am I, send George. He's got more time. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Oh, this is what I hear a lot too. You know, when things settle down, I'm going to start serving. You know, I can't take a job in church now. I can't work with that group now. I can't be involved in that now. But when things settle down, I will do my part. Look at me. Let me see the whites of your eyes. It's not going to ever settle down. Not going to ever settle down. And you need to understand it. You serve God anyway. You serve people anyway. Oh, I get this a lot. I'm going to do it when I get around to it. So for you, if you look there on your guide, I put you around to it there. There's one for you. That's your round to it. So you might as well go ahead and sign up. Another excuse is I'm not qualified. You know, I would serve, but I'm just not qualified. Listen, God doesn't want your IQ. He wants your I will. A lot of times, knowledge just gets in the way. It's not your abilities after, it's your availability. God doesn't call, listen to me, God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called. He's got something He wants you to do. Galatians 1:15, God in His grace chose me even before I was born and called me to serve Him. Wow. Before you ever born, God chose you and He called you to serve Him. And you've been missing out on the greatest blessings, the greatest fulfillment of your life because you've sitting there saying, somebody's more qualified than I am. I'm not qualified to do that. Like the two guys hanging out in front of the grocery store, and one is 6'9" tall, the other is 5'1". The little guy looks at the big guy and he said, I think you're the biggest guy I've ever seen. He said, if I was as big as you, I'd go out in them woods and I'd get me the biggest bear I could find and I'd just rip it apart. The big guy looked down at the little guy and he said, hey, there's some little bears out there. Go get you one of them. Well, there is something that you can do. There is a handle that your hand can fit. And then here's another excuse. And this is sad because I know it's coming from hurt. I feel unworthy. I have a past. Listen to me. Look at me. We all do. We all do. Do you realize a flower has to grow through dirt? You know, when we landed on the moon, we discovered something amazing. That the moon is a pile of dirt. Isn't that amazing? I mean, every time that Lee and I see a full moon, one of us is going to comment on it. Look how beautiful. Look at that moon. Look how beautiful. Look how bright. But it's a pile of dirt, but it is reflecting the light of the sun. That's why it's beautiful. Well, listen to me. You are a pile of dirt. Magnificent mud. Me too. But God in His grace has given us the privilege to reflect His brightness. The brightness of the sun, S-O-N. And that's a wonderful, wonderful privilege. God wants to use you. This is for those of you who are not... Well, I think most of you know this is a golf ball. And I borrowed it for my wife because she's playing golf now. But have you noticed, and have you ever wondered why the golf ball isn't smooth? It's got all these pockmarks or dimples on it. Well, an engineer who designs golf balls says that if this ball were smooth, Gray, it would only go 130 yards, which is about twice as far as mine gets anyway. But if you put the right number of dimples in the right places, it'll go twice that far. Slaughter. Twice that far. That's 260 up to 300 yards. If you happen to be a Slaughter. Now, isn't it interesting that it's what seemingly are the flaws is what deals with the air resistance and makes this ball fly through the air. You don't have to be perfect to be used of God because nobody's perfect. We all have flaws. We all have failures. We all have a past. But God says, I've got something for you to do. And the excuses, I'm too busy, I'm not qualified, I'm not worthy. Here's another excuse. I'm not a people person. I'm introverted. I'm not extroverted. So that means I'm supposed to sit there like this. Do you know how God is so wise that God made the right number of introverts and extroverts? I'm telling you, this world would not be the world it needs to be if it was all extroverts. They couldn't exist because somebody has to be quiet. Hello, you understand? It won't work that way. God made the right number of introverts, the right number of extroverts. The right number of feelers and the right number of thinkers. The right number of AM people and the right number of PM people. That way he's got somebody up around the clock. But you see, even if you think you're introverted, you are a people person because God made you to connect with people. He made you for relationships. And you're going to have relationships. And you're also going to have a ministry to people who think they're too introverted to serve God because they know you understand. See, what I want you to understand is you're the only person on earth who can use your God-given shape, your God-given ability. And if you don't do what God puts you on earth to do, then nobody else can do it. And God made you just like you are in order that you can do what he wanted you to do. So serving like Jesus means being available. Serving like Jesus means being grateful. Jesus showed up after Lazarus died, and they thought he was coming for a funeral, but he came for ministry to raise Lazarus from the dead. And he prayed out loud so they could hear. John 11. Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here. Jesus was grateful in the bad times and in the good times. He always had gratitude in his attitude. And people who serve from a grateful heart. One thing I love about the Apostle Paul, he never got over being saved. He served out of gratitude. And that's how we're to serve God. Psalm 102 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Not out of duty, but out of delight. Not out of obligation, but out of opportunity. Serve God because we want to serve God. And because he has blessed us and given us this privilege. You see, we get to serve. And he designed us that way. I love the passage in Revelation 1 where John says, I praise him who ever loves me and who once for all washed me from my sins by his own blood and hath made me a priest, a minister, a servant. John says, he loves me. He saves me. He wants to use me. Let me tell you this. If God never did anything else in my life than he's already done, and probably the same with you, he has done enough to cause me to want to serve him the rest of my life. 2 Timothy 1:9, it is he who saved us and chose us for his holy work, not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan. Now, there are a couple of stumbling blocks. One is comparing and criticizing. Romans 14:4, when you criticize someone else's servant, the Lord will determine whether his servant has been successful. Who are you to criticize? So when we start trying to serve, and in that process we're criticizing or comparing ourselves with others, or competing with others, we're serving with the wrong motivation. So comparing and criticizing and competing, that's not what serving is about. You say, how do I know if I'm really a servant, if I have a servant's heart? How you are treated, how you act when you're treated like a servant. That's the test. How do you respond when you're treated like a servant? Because you see, self-promotion and servanthood can't go together. They can't mix. Serving like Jesus means being available. It means being grateful. And thirdly, it means being faithful. You don't quit. You don't give up. Jesus was faithful to the end. He is faithful to this day. He didn't stop short of the cross. 1 Corinthians 4:2, the only one thing required of servants is that they be faithful. Are you faithful? One day you're going to stand before God. And God is going to ask you, what did you do with the shape I gave you? I gave you abilities. I gave you gifts. I gave you a personality. I gave you experiences, a background. What did you do with what I gave you? And do you want to know why I've spent 20 years of my life in this place, loving you, pastoring you, preaching to you? Is because I want you to be able to stand before God. And when you tell him what you did with your life, you will hear him say, well done. Well done. You've been faithful. You'll be rewarded. I began with Elvis. Let me close with Elvis. The only Grammy Award that he ever won was on an album, a religious album called He Touched Me. Listen to these words from that album. After the lightning and the thunder, after the last bell is rung, I want to bow down before Jesus and hear him say, well done, my son. He is my reason for living. He is my King of kings. I long to be in his possession. He is my everything. I want to be blunt with you and tell you that unless you spend your life serving God by serving other people, you will not hear well done at the end.
We hope you were blessed by our program today. If you would like a copy of today's program, go to www.fredlowry.com, where you can find this program and other Christian resources by Dr. Fred Lowry.